The Lion 90.7 FM, your campus weather service forecast. Sponsored by the Student Bookstore. You can stop by SBS and check out their textbooks, school supplies, PSU memorabilia, and more. You can also check out the Student Bookstore online at studentbookstore.com. Operated by Penn Staters for Penn Staters since 1965. The Big Blue on the Corner, Student Bookstore.
Good morning, and here is your campus weather service forecast. Today, clouds increasing throughout the day with a high of 41 degrees. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 38 degrees. Tomorrow, mild with a chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, a high of 63 degrees. And tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms likely. And a lot of people thought going into this show, it would be unlikely we would have such a guest. Graham Spanier, welcome to the Wake Up Call. Let me get your mic on. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, it's good to have you here, sir.
Glad to be here.
I'm DJ Illustrious. Mm-hmm. We can go down the panel here if you'd like.
DJ DK. DJ Dan. Whatever you feel like calling me. And I'm sharing a mic with my roommate.
I am DJ Infallible, Phil Schwartz.
DJ Catharsis, Chris Justin.
There it is. DJ
Graham. DJ Graham. DJ Graham. There it is.
Done and done.
All right.
And would you like to open us up with some questions here, CJ?
Yeah.
Actually, we have a very important question for you that we'd like to start off with.
I'm going to drop the music.
Yeah.
Drop the music.
This is vital.
All right. Now, Pepsi or Coke, what do you prefer?
Hard-hitting show, by the way.
Yeah.
When I'm on duty, Pepsi.
Oh, we figured you were going
to
say that.
We thought you might be contractually obligated to say that.
No, there's no rules about it. But I like them both.
Okay.
All right. Fair. Plays a smart game.
Yeah.
I must say, I'm a fan of Coke.
Yes.
But it's okay. We won't hold that against you too much.
That's right. And we brought you on the show, among many reasons, really.
Yes.
Talk about magic and music.
Mm-hmm.
Great things, really.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll start with a little magic. Sound good to you guys?
Sounds good.
Would you consider yourself a professional musician, or rather, magician, sorry, hobby? How would you define magic in your life?
It's a hobby. I'm not professional because I don't do it for money,
mm-hmm.
but I do it quite a bit. Yeah, I perform, I'd say on the average of once a week somewhere, sometimes just for a few people, and sometimes in a bigger show. I do it at alumni events and when I'm out fundraising sometime. I used to do it for the chairman of the Appropriations Committee the night before our hearings. He liked me. Didn't help us one bit. But it's something I've been doing my whole adult life, and it's an opportunity to have a little fun on the side.
Absolutely. Would you like to ask a magic question, sir?
I would. Thank you very much. I'm not a usual guest here on the morning show, but I heard that you were coming in, and I was itching to ask you a few questions about magic, mm-hmm. since I was interested myself, but not very good. A lot of people get started out with the, sort of standard tricks like a coin in a bottle or gadabout coins or a scotch and soda, stuff like that. Is that how you got started? Did you get started with sleight of hand coin tricks, or did you go straight to the prestige, cloning yourself and passing it off as the greatest trick ever made?
Well, actually, I started out as a clown act when I was in my first tour of duty at Penn State on the faculty from 1973 to 1982. My office was located in the south end of human development. I was in human development and family studies.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go into the preschools dressed as Graham the Clown. I would do safety lessons and other things.
That's awesome.
After a couple of years, I got bored with the clown act, decided to branch out into magic, began teaching myself. And initially, it was mostly sleight of hand stuff, learning how to do different sleights of hand, sometimes with a little bit of apparatus or a deck of cards or coins, and so that continues to be my preference as the close-up magic. But as I'm asked to do it more and more, I have to do it more on the stage, so I've adapted some of it to stage magic, but it's still more sleight of hand kind of stage magic as opposed to, you know, big fancy expensive apparatus, and I have never sought anyone in half
yet. Though we do have a willing participant today.
DJ DK.
If you wanted to try it out, no one would really mind if you made a mistake.
I'm not really important here.
The problem is we'd end up with two of them, and
that wouldn't be too good.
Touché.
Yeah. Well, so people can barely stand one of me, much less two.
You said you started out as a clown. Can you do other kinds of clown things like juggling or balloon animals?
Riding a very small bicycle.
I do some balloon animals and I do some juggling, but neither of those real well. Just the basic.
I pride myself as a juggler as well, actually.
Oh.
Member of the juggling club.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we have a juggling club. We also have Penn State Performing Magicians. And any of you who are interested in that, any student who's interested in that, can come out to their meetings. I'm their advisor, faculty advisor. But they have some great magicians. And we have now at Penn State, maybe you read the story, we have the nation's top young magician.
That's right. We have heard about
that.
Oh, yeah.
He was Manly Man of the Day, wasn't
he? We made him. We do a little segment on our show, which we'll get to later, called Manly Man of the Day. Uh-huh. We picked the
manliest man in the news.
Manliest man or woman in the news. And when we read that he was the top young magician was at Penn State, of course, you know, he immediately had to win.
Yeah, and he's very good. He's performed at some events I host, and I helped recruit him to Penn State, knowing that he would be a big hit. He's a very, very smart young man.
I mean,
well,
and he's a member of the Schreyer's Honors College,
yes,
too.
He is.
So,
yeah.
Not only is he a good magician, he's also a genius. So,
that's right.
It's
certified genius.
Good combination.
So, I hear that you guys, on the way in, you said, gee, I hope he's not listening. We better be careful.
That was him in the green.
I was listening. So, having me on the air, you were just joking about it at first.
No, well, we were. More hopeful in the beginning.
Hopeful.
So I think it started off, it was just myself, DJ Catharsis, and DJ Illustrious. And somehow it was said that, wouldn't it be cool if we could get Graham Spanier on the show? And I said, I'll email him, just as a joke, just see what happened. And I didn't think, I thought even if you got back to me, you know, it would be tough. We might not even be able to get you on this semester. So... Uh-huh. It came as a delightful shock when you said that you would try to come on as soon as possible.
That's right.
I'd say yes to most things. I mean, at least, you know, if I can. The schedule's always the main.
Yeah, well, that's what we were expecting. Always willing to work around a schedule.
Yeah, that's right.
But I also heard you reporting that that Britney Spears was out of rehab.
That's
you
right,
were,
yeah.
Yes,
big
congratulating
news.
Her, but do you really think she's done with that?
Fair question, you know? I mean, she's had at least... like a month and a half total rehab now, right?
Well, she tends combined. To go in and then come out like 12 hours later.
Right.
Yeah, that was her second stint that she just came out of, wasn't it?
Third, I believe,
third?
Actually. Yeah.
Third? Yeah.
Wow. But she is completely healed this time.
Now, knowing that you are a huge Britney Spears fan and that you collect all of her albums, I'm wondering if it came as a shock to you that she went into rehab. Did you have to tear down the posters, get rid of the albums?
Yeah. Well, no, because it had been brewing for a while. And
sure.
And
it's a long time coming.
Actually, I was slighted by Britney Spears several years ago.
Oh, no way.
I haven't gotten over it, yeah.
Do tell.
Well, you know, her first really, really big national tour, I'm trying to think how many years ago that was now. It, I don't know, might have been... 9 or 10.
She came by the BJC?
Yeah, she started it at the Bryce Jordan Center, and she spent a week here in State College preparing her national tour.
Wow.
She was doing all...
Wow.
And many groups do that. They come here, and they very quietly, almost secretly, spend several days here getting ready to roll it out, because the Bryce Jordan Center has a reputation for being very artist-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And given that she was going to be here for several days, I thought, well, what the heck? I'll invite her over for dinner because she's all alone.
Sure.
And
understand.
And you're a class act.
Yeah. And she turned me down.
Oh, not a class act. Oh,
Britney.
Wow.
Yeah, so
got to give her big downs for that.
Yeah, it's just been downhill for her since. I mean,
that's truth.
At that point, she was a 12-year-old girl, though. She was very young.
Yeah, she was a teenager then.
Yeah.
Maybe 19, do you think? Something like that.
She clearly didn't understand the mistake she was making.
Yeah. Well, now we can certainly justify that the wake-up call is better than Britney Spears.
Yes.
Because we have accepted your invitation.
Yes. Right, there I am.
So there it is. All right, but to get back to magic, I want to know, what is your favorite magic trick? Or illusion, or whatever you prefer to call them.
Well, my favorite tricks would be very close-up magic with a deck of cards or some coins. A lot of sleight of hand, misdirection, moving things around. you know, as close as people, just a foot away looking at it and still...
That's the best kind, really.
Agreed.
When you just can't, you know, can't figure it out when you're that close.
It's David Blaine-esque.
Yes.
Do we have a deck of cards in the studio? Anybody?
Can we get some coins?
We can get some coins.
You can probably get some coins.
Yeah, the only thing is it doesn't work too well on radio.
No.
We've informed the listeners. Yeah. We're just going
to
say,
it'd be great for you guys, but the others are going to have to come out to a show or something. So,
we invited them to come to our
windows. Catch me in the hub.
We invited them to come.
Do you do shows in the hub?
Occasionally with late night Penn State. If we have student performing magicians out, sometimes I'll join them. Always at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
When the new freshmen are back, we have, you know, things here in the hub. Open it.
That's another thing I wanted to ask you about. The beginning of each year, don't you stay in supplemental with some freshmen?
Yes, I do.
And is that for a weekend?
I've done that every year for my career, both at Penn State and even before. But, 12 years now here for the move-in weekend, help students move in. Then I stay for that move-in weekend.
That's awesome.
I was in East Halls this year.
How'd it go?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was doing magic there in in East Halls all night long for groups. They'd call their friends, and the crowd would grow. And
much like this show, really.
Yeah.
A lot like this show.
Yeah. People heard you were coming, and the crowd is just blossoming in the studio.
Yeah, speaking of which, you've come with your entourage today.
Yes.
Yeah, well, today we have a high school senior from the Phillipsburg Osceola School who will be actually a freshman at the Penn State Dubois campus next year.
All right.
And then we have a Penn State undergraduate student. Are you a senior? Mm-hmm. A senior. And they're shadowing me today to learn a little bit about the life of a university president. We have some students who do that from time to time. And then this year we're very privileged to have with us at Penn State an American Council on Education fellow. Yolanda is a professor at Washington State University. She's spending the year at Penn State. She's been selected as one of the rising stars in higher education to spend a year with a university president learning about administration. She's been a department head there, and so she's spending the whole year doing something like that.
All right. Well, it's good to have him here.
Yeah.
So what else do you have on tap for today? With your posse following you around?
Today we've got a couple of meetings with my staff. I have meetings with my governmental affairs assistant, and that's it's that time of the year, appropriations, a lot of other legislation in Harrisburg. Then I'm taping something for the College of Business, doing a videotape that they're going to be using for an awards presentation. Now we have the 10th anniversary of the Schreyer Honors College coming up, and they're putting a video together for that I'll be doing. I'll be having lunch with students in West Halls and a meeting with the Commission on Women. Then we're having a meeting to talk about the future of online music services at Penn State. As you probably know, the whole music thing is changing, online music, and that's something I've been very involved with nationally. So we're talking about where we're going to be going with that at Penn State. I have a meeting with one of our deans. Today's my day to meet with my accountant to get my taxes.
Cool. And a busy day. Yeah.
So not much is what you're trying to say. After this, it's not really that.
At 5:30, my racquetball partner and I are defending our intramural racquetball championship.
Really?
Oh, wow.
How does one challenge you in racquetball?
Well, it's intramurals, so anybody can sign up, and we're just working our way through the brackets, beating everybody we can along the way, and today we have another in the continuing matches.
I myself have recently discovered racquetball, and I really enjoy it.
Great sport.
I'm not athletic at all, and I finally found out that racquetball is one sport that I can actually beat people who are good at sports.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's really got to find their sport.
Exactly.
Right. And speaking of brackets, how's your NCAA tournament bracket doing?
Yeah.
Filling up?
Now, to tell you the truth, it's going to sound a little corny to you, but I'm not allowed to be in any NCAA tournament brackets. Coaches, athletic directors, and presidents are not allowed to gamble.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, not gamble. But just fill one out
rules,
at all?
Even by NCAA rules, I just can't do it because
even though
just the possible taint of gambling on college sports. A football coach got into some trouble at another university doing that years ago. It was part of what cost him his job, maybe the main thing.
Oh,
I
would
think
that
completely unaware of that.
If Penn State wasn't in the big tournament or the NIT, that they wouldn't really care about the fact that
you
were entering a pool.
Can't cross the line.
Well, I mean, if you can't, who's your pick for national champion at least?
Yeah, hypothetically.
Yes. If you could
Well,
pick.
Being in the Big Ten, you're always, if you're a good sport about it, you want your other Big Ten teams to do well because it reflects well in the conference. It builds the value of the conference. So much as I hate to admit it, I mean, of all things, I really hate to admit it. If Ohio State continued to advance, that would be, that would be good for us, probably.
Be very good for us.
That would also be great for my wallet.
Probably not the only one.
That would also be great for Greg Oden because he can finally go into retirement.
Yes.
As a 60-year-old man. The oldest man in college basketball.
He just he gets grayer every day. Greg Oden.
Yeah, he was pretty impressive, though, when he was here on our court.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He is a solid
We can all agree on that, really.
Yes.
I just want to throw this article out here because I just found this online.
Mm-hmm.
There's a French Spider-Man named Alain Robert.
Oh, I heard about this guy.
He's popularly known as French Spider-Man. He's a daredevil climber who has scaled skyscrapers around the world without ropes. And on Tuesday, Roberts tried his hands at scaling Malaysia's 88-story Petronas Twin Towers with his bare hands for the second time in 10 years. He evaded security guards on the world's tallest twin towers and reached the 60th floor before giving himself up. That's impressive. And a little bit dangerous, maybe? Question mark?
Yeah, I'd go with dangerous.
Question.
Go for it.
I keep on stealing microphones from people. I'm just curious. If someone from Penn State were to dress up as Spider-Man and climb up Old Main all the way up to the bell tower, would you have a problem with that? I realize that you would probably have to get rid of them, you know, expel them from the university, but secretly in your heart, wouldn't in your heart of hearts, deep down inside, wouldn't you be going, yes, Spider-Man goes to our university? And it's just another check mark on the list of things that Penn State can do right.
Secretly, that would probably be pretty neat. but I'd be in trouble if I was encouraging it.
Sure. So we're not saying to go do it right now to impress Graham Spanier.
You can actually, occasionally during the year they open up the bell tower for tours, so you can go up there using the steps. You don't really have to scale the outside walls.
But that's not a challenge.
No, it's not a challenge. People need challenges in life, like running with the bulls in Pamplona.
Oh, I want to do that so bad.
I did that.
You did?
Really? When?
Yeah. Oh, story time.
I did that, I would say, maybe 4 years ago.
No way.
Yeah.
And you just go, like, all right, because I really want to do this. You just go and you just run? Do you have to, like, sign up to
run? It'd be kind of silly to walk, really.
There's no signing up. It's over there where they do it in Pamplona, Spain. There's no insurance.
Sure.
Very little liability.
That'd be a little tough to get insurance.
Concerns. You show up. You do have to be inside the gated area, so to speak, the boundaries that they set within the roads where you're running beforehand. There's a point maybe a half an hour before the rocket goes off at 8 a.m. that they expect you to be in there if you're going to run. Then nobody gets in or out. But yeah,
that's right.
If you chickened out, you know, you could slip out under the barricade. But you have to be there early, and you don't sign up. The day I did it, there might have been 4,000 people. I think they range from 2,000 to 4,000 people that do the run on any given day. They do it for several consecutive days, and I think it helps to prepare a little bit. I prepared a little bit by going the day before and having someone who literally wrote the book on Running with the Bulls. He's a professor at Penn State, and he's done it every year since about the mid-1980s.
Oh, wow.
Gary Gray is his name. He teaches finance.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Okay. Right.
He's a former linebacker, so he doesn't mind mixing it up with the Bulls. I actually wanted to avoid them.
Right.
But he showed me the ropes and, kind of mapped it all out. It was an experience.
Now, so
how close do you get to
exactly.
these poles? Exactly. Like,
well, you want to hope that you get close, but not too close. If you're just nowhere near them, then it's
where's the thrill?
Yeah, not it's exciting. Not like you've really run with them. But
yeah.
I didn't want to actually have any direct contact.
That's fair.
People do get gored every year. So you can get pretty close. I started out sort of walking, then jogging, then running really fast and wanting to get into the bullfighting arena where you end
right.
just ahead of the bulls. And just as I made the turn to get into the arena, a couple of them passed me up.
Were you in fear for your life at that time? At any time during the race, were you in fear
maybe
for
maybe just
your life?
A little bit near the end.
okay.
Because one of the big dangers when you have 4,000 people running, and frankly about half of them are drunk, they've been up all night, and then this drinking, and this occurs at 8 a.m., and you really want to be careful of that. One of the big dangers is tripping and falling over people and then getting stampeded by people rather than the bulls.
Wow.
So I was determined to look straight ahead and to, you know, I was counting the seconds off, knowing about when they would reach us. And there was a point at which I was looking ahead, and I saw other people turning around to look back, and you can see the look in their eyes of fear, knowing the bulls were getting close.
Right.
And that's when I really remember that I once was on the track team.
Let's try to turn it up.
Yeah.
Speaking of track, we were wondering what sports you were involved in your younger days.
Track, cross country, basketball, primarily.
We had a feeling it was basketball.
I played a lot of basketball. Every day of my life, I played basketball. The cross-country and track thing I did, frankly, for only one reason, because I had this idea in my head that I was an athlete and should be doing something every sports season. And mm-hmm. At my high school, which is a big high school in the Chicago area, I was really too small to play football.
Right.
And I couldn't – so I wasn't going to be on the football team. The only other sport at that time in the fall season – was cross country, and so I kind of tortured myself.
Just went right in there.
Running these long distances, and not exactly a lot of fun at that time.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people do it. It's, you know, their daily exercise. But
yeah.
You should come shoot around with us sometime.
Yeah, I was just about to say, do you still play basketball?
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that now for about 10 or 15 years. I play racquetball three times a week. That's become my main sport. I used to play quite a bit of handball, but then as racquetball developed as a sport in the 1970s, I realized it was very similar to handball, except you didn't have to beat up your hands.
I
traded my handball gloves in for a racket.
I have to compliment you on your choice. Racquetball is much better, in my opinion, than basketball, being terrible at basketball myself.
heavy bias there.
Yeah. I used to play tennis, but it seemed when I was playing tennis, you spent about 90% of the time chasing balls.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
In racquetball, you just stand there, and the ball will come back to you within a second or two. It's there. So you really get a good exercise, good workout by sticking with it.
Beautiful. Well, go ahead. Speak right up.
Sorry, I have another question. I feel like I'm just sort of lurking in the back, waiting for a chance to grab the microphone.
A little bit.
Which is actually the case. You know, when I was a kid, I was not good at any sports, and there was nothing that really fit me, so I started playing guitar. I played instruments. And I understand that you play some instruments as well fairly often. In fact, I've seen you here in the hub. What all instruments do you play? Are you like, really proficient at any of them?
No, I'm not proficient at anything. I play the bass drum with the blue band occasionally. I did that Monday in Harrisburg. We had a rally there and played with them in the rotunda of the Capitol, and then we marched a couple of blocks down to the local hotel and played there some more. So several times a year I play with the blue band. That's a lot of fun. But the main thing I do is I play a souped-up washboard. It's 24 percussion instruments. Attached to a washboard.
That is a lot of drums.
Yeah.
And I play with several different bands. I play with the First Family, part of the First Family. That's a local bar downtown. I play on Saturday nights. We played there on St. Patrick's Day this last Saturday for a couple of hours.
Well, actually, if I could, sorry to cut you off, Graham, but if you don't mind, we're going to go to a break here, and we'll come back with all kinds of music talk and talk about your band and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine by you. We're going to go out with a song here, and since you are a DJ now, yes, officially,
yeah,
we would like you to choose the song if possible. So I've got five nominees here, and we're going to be playing two of them, one now and one come 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
All right, here are the five songs. There's Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al, you know, the If You'll Be My Bodyguard song. There's Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. There's Rolling Stones, Beast of Burden. Outkast, Bombs Over Baghdad. Or Kerncraft 4000, Zombie Nation. Whatever you like. Any of those five,
well,
we'll be picking two.
I love all those songs.
All right, good.
Paul Simon in particular is a real
excellent,
a real favorite, yes, of mine, although I can tell you something about all of those different artists.
All right, we'll start with Paul Simon. You can weigh those last four to choose which song we're going to go out on,
yeah,
towards,
yeah,
the end of the show. All right, but we're going to go Paul Simon, and then we're going to have a break. So we'll be back. More Wake Up Call with Graham Spanier right after this.
Nah. Defense Spectrum. Only on the Lion 90.7 FM. We play music you can't hear anywhere else.
You'd be so nice to come home to.
This is real jazz. Real jazz.
The Jazz Spectrum.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m.
Only on the Lion 90.7 FM. The Lion 90.7 is sponsored by attorney Andrew Shubin. If that night of partying turns into a world of trouble, give attorney Shubin a call to schedule a free consultation. If you need experienced representation for a DUI, underage drinking, or drug charges, call 867-3115 or check out attorney Shubin's website at www.statecollegelaw.com.
Hi, this is Brandy from Herbig's Austrian Bistro. After slaving away in a tiny little hole, well hidden from the public, finally after 5 years in business, and I might add successful, Herbig's has moved to a prime location. 132 West College Avenue, next to the new State Theater.
Same authentic Austrian food as before, same customer treatment. 238-0200.
Back to the wake-up call in 30 seconds right here on the Line, 90.7 FM.
Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive. Beep, 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 beep,
yeah. Drive it home. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Yeah.
And now back to the Wake Up Call on the Lion 90.7 FM.
All right, we're back. Yes. It's not a joke. We have Graham Spanier in the studio with us right now.
Yes, we do.
And we're happy to have him here.
Yes.
So right before break, we were just getting into the music you like to play, mm-hmm. and you're just starting to tell us about the washboard, so please continue.
Well, the washboard, believe it or not, works with lots of different kinds of music, and down at the First, with the First family, we play just lots of popular tunes of most any genre. My main band is the Deacons of Dixieland, the Dixieland Jazz Band, and the washboard has been used, you know, since the beginning by Dixieland Jazz Bands, New Orleans-style Dixieland Jazz.
That's the band I really wanted to hear about. I played trombone for 9 years, and I played a lot of jazz.
Ah, yeah.
And I saw you in Redifer Commons a couple weeks ago, and band sounds impressive.
Well, that was with the Deacons of Dixieland, and our trombone player is a professor of trombone at Lock Haven University, and all Dixieland jazz bands have trombones.
Yes.
Some of the other instruments vary a little bit, so we do that. And then I play with other bands as well. Occasionally I play with a band called Lost Faculties, which is a group of faculty members, many of them in the sociology department here.
As well as a delicious pun.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I play with the Rustical Quality String Band occasionally, and that's a band that has a couple of violins, a bass, guitar, washboard. So it works with different types of music, bluegrass.
Have you ever gotten to strut down Broad Street in the Mummers Parade with your washboard?
I have not done that, but I have played in New Orleans. I've played in Preservation Hall. And I played on Bourbon Street there, and that was a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And how long have you been playing the washboard?
About 12 years, 11, 12 years. So it's something I picked up a little later in life.
Why did you choose to start out with the washboard?
Actually, I was pulled out of an audience just as a joke. The Deacons of Dixieland, when we perform, we carry around with us 6-8 washboards. We bring people out of the audience for a couple of numbers, hand them the washboard, and ask them to play along. And as a joke, they brought me out of the audience. Somebody spotted me from the band, said, "Hey, come on up here and play with us." And usually the audience has a good laugh because people they don't have any rhythm, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was playing with them, and they said, "Hey, you can really play." and they started calling me up, asking if I could show up and play the washboard with them a little bit at one event or another, and before long, they just made me a member of the band. And
well,
that's
great things.
That's the history.
Certainly can grow out of jokes.
Well said. There it is. Well said.
Yes. Soon you'll have me as the morning disc jockey.
Absolutely. It's kind of early for us, so we might just have you take over, just in total. But how about your other band members? What do they play?
Well,
in the Deacons of Dixie.
Yeah, in the Deacons of Dixieland, we have a trombone, saxophone, trumpet, guitar, banjo, bass, drums, and the washboard. I think that's it, eight of us.
That's a full band.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a solid band.
And you just upstage all of them every show. we can
naturally.
Assume, really. Yeah.
The others, I mean, they're all really professional musicians. So for me, it's just a privilege to be part of the group.
Well said.
Yeah.
The PC answer.
Modest.
All right. Well, I think we're just going to go with a couple quick hitters here. We were wondering, as this is the wake-up call, and I'm a bit hungry because I haven't eaten quite some time now.
DJ Illustrious is on a fast right now.
On
yes.
a quick fast, and we'll see how long it goes. What is your favorite breakfast feed?
Well, to tell you the truth, I generally don't eat breakfast.
Oh,
wow.
Switching it up.
I was not expecting that answer.
Yeah, I'm not a breakfast person.
I'm not either, and he always yells at me for it.
I do.
Chris,
I do.
Since high school, he's been, you got to eat breakfast, man. Your metabolism.
Well, I know that the common wisdom is that that's the most important meal of the day, but I've also spoken to nutritionists who say everybody's rhythms and constitution are a little different, and I kind of pick up steam as the day goes on, so lunch is usually my first meal, and my body kind of has to start getting used to the world for a few hours, and then I'll eat more and more as the day goes on. But when I do go out for breakfast, I love to go to the waffle shop.
Of course.
One of them
that's
here
great.
In State College,
classic,
and,
yeah.
That's a good one.
I usually get two eggs over easy with the potatoes. That's very important.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best way to judge, I think, the quality of a breakfast is what kind of potatoes they
have.
Well
meal. Said.
And sausage, love sausage. Yeah, toast.
So if Excellent. You're picking up steam throughout the day, I'd imagine by late night you're pretty hungry, which would lead me to ask, have you ever been to Are You Hungry? The classic sandwich shop. You've been?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh.
President Spaniard, you're missing out. You are missing
it's
out.
It's a good sandwich.
You got to head down there. It's like everything unhealthy packed into a roll.
Yeah. I've read about it.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
It's kind of scary.
It's a little intimidating.
The first
it's
time true. You take a look, yeah, it's a little intimidating to say the least.
Right, but if you come with the attitude that you're going to own that sandwich, it's fine. You got it under control.
I'll try it out.
or what's that new place, Mr. C's?
Mr. C's.
We had a big debate about which was better, Are You Hungry and Mr. C's, because Mr. C's was, what, suing Are You Hungry? For
Are You Hungry suing Mr. C's.
Oh, right. Opposite way for... Yep. The naming of the sandwiches or something like that.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I mean,
the tight contest.
DJ Illustrious, you're the only one who's been to both so far. I mean,
right. So I'm the expert. As you can see, I really pack it on.
We know that Mr. C's has cheaper sandwiches, but
true.
We don't know which one tastes better.
True. Well, if you don't go to Are You Hungry, what is one of your favorite places to eat downtown, we'll say? Favorite restaurants?
Well, there's several. That I like. They're not all downtown. I go to Faccia Luna a lot for pizza. The highway pizzas are good.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I like them all. I'm not that fussy. All
right.
I think favorite spots in town are you know, I mean, they're pretty interesting, but you've been present here for quite some time. What's your favorite spot on campus? Just any spot, any building, any particular favorite.
Favorite place to be.
Yes.
Ah, gee.
It's a tough one.
Well, frankly, I like Old Main a lot. And not that many students come in and out of Old Main. And, you know, we do tours. They have open houses. I have an open house in my office every fall. But it's really a very historic building. I enjoy being there in Old Main and exploring that. Yesterday I did a press conference with a couple of state officials on the gateway that connects the new chemistry and life sciences building, that glassed-in area
mm-hmm. yeah.
on the top. And that's a fabulous spot right there.
It's,
You can
very
look out
beautiful.
Both directions and see different parts of the campus. So I enjoy that spot a lot as well. Of course, Beaver Stadium is great.
Of course. Oh, actually, speaking of which, I heard that you sub in for the Nittany Lion at times when the original guy who does it is not ready to go.
Yeah, about a half a dozen times a year I'm in the Nittany Lion suit.
And no one is the wiser.
Yeah, tell us about it.
We can't tell at all. You just keep pace so well.
Occasionally, I will actually substitute for the Nittany Lion.
Right.
There might be some event. Maybe the Nittany Lion can't make it to volleyball or to some event, and they say, do you want to go? And I'll go and do it. But more often than that, it's for special occasions where we're doing something for donors. I remember when Joe Paterno won his 300th football game, and it was a real big celebration. I was the Nittany Lion for that, and people whispered to Joe, "That's Graham Spanier in there," and he said, "Oh yeah, right." I had to take the head off at some point to show him because he didn't believe it.
That's great.
But it's getting harder and harder to be the Nittany Lion because you have to be able to do 50 one-arm push-ups.
Right. Yeah.
And I've always been able to do that, but I'm slowing down a little bit.
Oh,
I don't
believe that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But I can still do them.
I was just imagining that they would bring you in whenever they need a standing backflip. They're just calling Graham.
Also, during the new student activities when the Nittany Lion appears, that's me.
That's you as well.
Yeah, so be apart from the start this year, I was the Nittany Lion. Mm,
okay.
That's where I remember you from.
President's convocation, alumni reunion weekends.
Okay.
So would you say you have a trademark move as the Lion? Like, if we saw you in the suit, how could we pick you out?
Look for the 50 one-arm push-ups.
Right,
where
sure.
I'm not going quite all the way.
All right.
Well, I was actually at that 300th win. I've been coming out to games since I was, 4 years old. Uh-huh. So I was actually at that 300th win. And I couldn't tell the difference. Not that I would even be looking for it at that point, because I think I was, 13, 14 at that point. But that's impressive. It was 48 that game, 48 one-arm push-ups.
No, during the game, that wasn't me.
Oh, not during
the
game? No,
this was afterwards
after
when
party.
We were honoring Joe Paterno.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a different wasn't during the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, because, I think the score was
during the game, it would wear me out. Because
yeah, a lot of push-ups.
You got to keep doing push-ups continuously.
We scored touchdowns on the first three plays of the entire game. I think it was, a kickoff return. They fumbled the kickoff, and we ran it back, and then we intercepted the ball on, the fourth play, and it was 21-0 in the first quarter.
It's 42 push-ups.
And, the line was just exhausted somewhere.
Shep, it was impressive. It was, I think the score was, 48-3 that game? I mean, it was a blowout. There was no question in anyone's mind. It was against Bowling Green, but,
That's why you play him.
Of course.
Right. All right, I think we're ready to move on.
I think we're ready for...
It's time for Manly Man of the Day.
This
is what we do best.
Season.
We're going to get this pumping right now. We'll just have this bad music. This is classic wake-up call. This is really the epitome of our show right here.
And now it's time for the Manly Man of the Day. On the Wake Up Call.
So there it is. This song, Ghost Riders in the Sky, inspires me every morning, every time we play it.
We just love it. It's a pick-me-up.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so the three of us here, myself, DJ Illustrious, DJ Catharsis, DJ Infallible, we're all going to recommend a Manly Man candidate that's been in the news recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide who is the manliest of the three.
All right.
Would you like to make your case first?
I'd love to. All right. East Vale pickup owner in underwear chases thief. The owner of a stolen pickup truck, wearing only his underwear, used his wife's van to chase down the thief. The 29-year-old man was sipping coffee in his garage before dawn Sunday when his Ford Ranger suddenly started up and roared off. The man, whose name was withheld, then jumped into his wife's van and, wearing only his underwear, gave chase. Inside the floor installer's pickup were his tools. He said, "I just can't let my truck go because it's my livelihood." That's pretty dumb. Pretty darn manly, makes a living with tools. The man pursued his pickup at speeds up to 80 miles per hour in the unincorporated Riverside County community before ramming the Ford Ranger with his wife's van. The pickup struck a concrete barrier and the thief ran into a field, got into a Chevy S10 pickup, and fled. The Ford Ranger had moderate damage to the front and back, and the van had major damage in the front. I'm going to end it there. I think that's manly enough that you would destroy both of your cars just so you don't have to give one away. I like that. And he does it in his underwear, too, which is pretty great.
All right,
so there's mine.
Good case.
Yeah, go for it.
Good manly, man. But I have Alex Machado, and I think he's got good thing going on over here. He was expecting a routine Saturday evening spent at home with his girlfriend. Instead, the 23-year-old maintenance worker saved the life of a man his same age. About 10:30 p.m., he heard a loud crash outside his home just beyond Milton's town limits. He looked out his kitchen window, and through some trees, he saw a fire off Route 5. And it turns out that there was another young man about the age of 23 who was speeding down the highway, and he crashed into a tree, and his car went up in flames. The driver's side door was stuck. It was, so he had to kick open the window and pull him out. And not only that, but after he saved his life, he started a fund to fundraise for the victim because he has no insurance.
Wow.
This is pretty much...
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right, that's a pretty darn good one. Very manly man right there. Phil, best of luck to you.
I'm going to go with
that's a... tough to follow up.
We tend to have a lot of octogenarians.
That's true,
as
we do.
As our manly men.
Very much so.
And I have a Dutch octogenarian.
Ooh.
This is a story from Amsterdam. Officers said that an 81-year-old observed a shoplifter run from a supermarket with two employees in pursuit. The man did not hesitate a moment, followed the fleeing suspect on his bike, rode into his legs, whereupon both fell. The cyclist injured his hand and chin in the fall and had to undergo treatment. The shoplifter was arrested and found to be carrying 122 euros, which in Dutch money is 220 ends.
Just ends.
That helps a lot.
I really don't know what a New Zealand, what a Netherlands dollar is.
Nobody does.
Worth of cosmetics, police said. Cycling is very popular in Netherlands. The famous flat country has more bikes than people, with each resident riding an average of more than 900 kilometers a year. And each 81-year-old taking down an average of one shoplifter a month.
All right.
So
good to know. So there it is. We have myself, underwear, chasing a guy down in his wife's van. We have a guy saving a man from a burning car, and an octogenarian chasing down a 220-end stealing thief.
Yes.
Well, the...
So go ahead and weigh in.
Yeah, the underwear-wearing man... in the van, and the bicycling octogenarian are noteworthy, but
very
my
much
vote
so.
Would go for the rescue after the car. The hero.
He's
the hero did the fundraising and saved people. I think that is...
he went above and beyond,
that's
really.
That's pretty remarkable. I mean, if I was in my underwear and the car was... Who cares? You know, big deal. Of course you're going to...
Chase him down.
Go do something. And nowadays, you know, being 80 isn't that old.
Yeah.
Our head football coach is 80. You
this
know?
Is true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's but the other guy clearly...
Above and beyond.
Above and beyond.
Yeah. He's going to lord this over us for the next couple months.
I should have saved my Centurion story.
Should have. Yeah. All right, well, there you go, manly man of the day.
Manly man of the day.
Continuing the tradition.
Alex Machado.
Each day we have a manly man, and then at the end of the week we'll have manly man of the week. All five candidates will go up, and then listeners can call in and determine who's the winner.
Yes.
So that's a pretty strong candidate, Alex Machado.
You do have listeners, then.
Oh, sure, yes, we have listeners.
We have listeners.
We just don't really have working phones, so we can't show it off.
But yeah, we are not only the number one student morning show in the area, but we're pretty big in Venezuela.
Number one in Venezuela.
Number one in Venezuela.
Really?
Yeah. Sure.
It's a standing joke on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe you had a friend there who was.
No, I wouldn't mind going to Venezuela.
We sent Hugo an email, but nothing. Yeah. No love so far.
Mr. Chavez just will not respond.
Yeah.
We actually do have some listeners in Britain.
Yeah, Britain, Alabama.
Alabama, Florida.
Florida. Yeah. All over the place, really.
Yeah, we do have some Venezuelan students here. They might be listening.
I can only hope that they listen when they go home on breaks then. Yeah. Although we also are home on breaks, so.
Yeah, it's great. The morning show, you guys recently got listed on the iTunes music directory, so that's exciting. And since that happened, you guys really shocked me. Out of all our other shows, I mean, we've had some pretty long-standing shows, you know, stalwarts of student radio at Penn State. And you guys brought in listeners from Great Britain, from I think, 5 or 6 states, southern states, western states, states you wouldn't normally expect would be tuning into Penn State Radio at 7 in the morning. And, you know, props to you guys. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's great because these are the first guys in quite some time, I think, to have you here, Dr. Spanier. I remember a couple of years ago when I was doing my Britney Spears Hour, I sent you an email and said, would you like to come in for Britney Spears Hour? And you said, I would rather not talk about it. And now I know why. But props to these morning show guys. You guys are doing a good job.
We're just that good. At least we pretend to be anyway. It just kind of works out.
We do pride ourselves on that. And if you have the time, actually, would you care to read a couple statements there for us that we've prepared for you?
Yes, sure.
All right. Go for it.
Hi, I'm Graham Spanier, president of Penn State University. And you're listening to The Lion, 90.7 FM. This is where the magic happens.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Very nice. Well said. All right. And if you want to go throw in the wake-up call, we wouldn't be opposed to that. The one in the middle, too, Radio Free Penn State, if you have it in you.
I'm Graham Spanier, president of Penn State University, and you're listening to Radio Free Penn State.
Perfect. Perfect. That's all
Excellent.
You need. Yeah.
Love it.
Nail on the head. Go ahead.
You do. Just to save you time, you can just read the bottom line. You don't have to read the top again.
Oh, all right. One more. And you're listening to the wake-up call on The Lion, 90.7 FM, WKPS, State College.
That's
perfect.
Terrific.
That's perfect.
Excellent. It's terrific.
In my old radio voice.
That's great.
That's right. We were speaking during the break. You used to be a DJ, a well-known DJ.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
Right.
Back in your day.
Back in my youth.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got quite the head start on the four of us over here.
That's right. We're working on 2 or 3 months right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know, actually, I'm curious, is the radio station you started at in Chicago still operational?
Yes. WEEF, AM and FM,
great.
Still operating. 1430 AM and I think 103.1 FM.
That's awesome. I'm going to check that out later today.
Right. Yeah. And I worked with some other radio stations along the way. KASI, AM and FM, in Ames, Iowa, where I was in college, and WOI-TV, WCIU in Chicago.
What's your current favorite radio station? I'm interested.
Besides this one.
No, just you know, what do you tune into when you are brushing your teeth in the morning?
WPSU, the public broadcasting station, 91.5.
And what's your favorite student-run radio station from here in the heart of Penn State student life, the Hub Robeson Center, with the show The Wake Up Call? Is it The Lion 90.7?
Well, of all of the Penn State student radio stations here in the Hub, I think I'd have to pick this one.
All right, we do. Yes.
You heard it here, folks.
That's the only part that we're going to keep out of this. Yes. Thing. We're just going to play that over and over again.
We're going to chop everything you said.
We're going to do some creative editing. Right?
Beautiful. All right, well, I have a quick thing to get to before we wrap it up here. I guess you know Ben & Jerry's closing down in State College here. Have you heard about that?
No, I actually haven't.
Downtown, Ben & Jerry's store.
Yeah, I read something in the Collegian that suggested something along those lines, but you never know with the Collegian if they got it all right.
Right. Because
our main competitor. I love it. That's the first politically incorrect shot, and it wasn't even by me. I'm usually the one making shots at, like, cheerleaders and stuff.
Beautiful.
No, I was just joking.
Sure, sure. Okay.
Of course. It's okay.
There'll be a column, an editorial, the editor out. Yeah. Here I did that.
Don't even worry about it. But Ben & Jerry's downtown is closing up shop. They're going out of State College, which is pretty disappointing. But that also brought into mind Stephen Colbert, I guess you're familiar with, just got a new flavor of Ben & Jerry's ice cream named
that
after
I
him.
I did see.
The
yes.
American Dream. Just starting now, Willie Nelson got a Ben & Jerry's flavor named after him. It's peach cobbler, which sounds delicious. We can all
actually,
agree.
Actually, coming in up in the next couple of months, there's going to be the wake-up call flavor.
That's yes. right.
Yes. We're working
we're
on
looking
it.
Forward to it. Yeah. We're planning it.
A lot of variety in that. You, yes. know, you never know what you're going to get with
yeah.
every stream.
Ice cream in the morning.
Beautiful. So I was, of course, wondering, if you could create a Ben & Jerry's flavor for yourself, what would it consist of? Would it be like blueberries and white ice cream,
no,
something
no,
like
no.
that?
No, it would be chocolate.
Chocolate.
Yeah, I have a chocolate base, sort of a deep, dark chocolate base with a mandarin orange flavor and
ooh,
almonds.
Ooh.
And sort of a, yeah, deep mandarin, dark chocolate, mandarin orange, almond, something or another.
Have you tried to go to the creamery to get this
yeah.
started for yourself?
No, for a very short period of time, they had an ice cream flavor at the creamery named after me, which was the worst I've ever had.
Ouch.
It was called Spanier Spumoni, but it wasn't Spumoni as I knew it, and didn't hold together too well, and you got a serious overdose of raisins when you ate it.
Can't so have that.
It just lasted a couple of days.
So. If we can get Ben and Jerry's in touch with you for the design of this flavor, would you like to try to facilitate that?
Oh, I could help them out.
Beautiful. Penn State grads, right? Ben and Jerry?
Yeah. They went through our ice cream short course here.
That's right.
At Penn State.
Tops in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right, well, I don't know. Anything to say, gentlemen?
Nothing, but we were very happy to have you.
Yes, thank you for coming
well,
on.
This was static. Fun. We could do this again sometime.
We'd love to. Anytime
great.
You,
anytime
like.
You yeah. want. But we have to have you choose your last song to go out on here. We have four left. Same four we had earlier. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. We heard there were some bad moments between you
strife.
And Whitney in the past. So you don't
yeah,
have to choose it.
Disappointing.
Right.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones, Beast of Burden, Outkast, Bombs Over Baghdad, or Kerncraft 4000, Zombie Nation.
Well, I think the Kerncraft 4000 Zombie Nation is
beautiful.
Appropriate because yes. I love that. And I think it's great that we're introducing some new stuff with around Penn State and Penn State sports and all of that. It used to be more boring around here. And it seems to me we got to have some fun stuff like that going on around our event. So that's a good one.
I do also just want to interject one little thing. Big news in Penn State sports. I don't know if you heard. Adding spice to the life of the sports scene, the bass theme. We just finished second in the Big Ten.
The bass fishing
in
club.
The bass fishing.
Are you involved in that too?
Oh yeah.
Oh no kidding.
Yep. Yeah, and we fished a tournament actually in Newton, Illinois.
Yeah.
On Sunday, and we finished in second place. We finished second place only to Illinois, and. We beat out
they
Purdue.
They had an unfair advantage knowing the local river.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, they did. They've been fishing for months. We came in, though, shrugged off the disadvantage. We only got 2 hours of practice fishing. Everybody else had a couple days.
Yeah.
We shrugged it off. We battled through it, finished second.
You get to eat any?
No, you have to throw them all back. Oh. They actually penalize you if you kill them. So they try to discourage
play
that.
Play it safe.
But yeah, we've been a club for 6 months. We beat clubs that have been... That have, you know, 50, upwards of 50, 60 members, been around for 10, 15 years.
We have so many clubs at Penn State, and they all,
yeah.
they do so well. And when we compete nationally in most everything, it works very nicely.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I have one question, if I could, before we jet out.
Go right ahead.
There have been a lot of distinguished presidents here at Penn State. If you could aspire to be like one former Penn State president, who would that president be?
Fair question. Thought-provoking, really.
Goodness. Well, I think George Atherton is
Atherton, classic.
Very well regarded in Penn State's history, and he was president at a very difficult time and really turned a lot of things around that set the stage for the future of Penn State. But there have been a lot of great ones.
See, but George Atherton never came on the wake-up call.
Touche.
So,
that's
true. You're automatically superior to
him. You're skyrocketing past
him. I'm sure
right
he would have had radio been invented then.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Small oversight.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in. Just so you know, the last time we played Zombie Nation in here, we started jumping around so wildly, we broke all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how it works out this time. Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for listening to the Wake Up Call.
Pleasure to be here.
Zombie. Sweet Nation.
Thanks for answering your wake-up call, PSU's Morning Blend. If you missed your wake-up call, tune in weekday mornings at 7 a.m. or check out thelion.fm for podcasts. Keep it locked for more great music here on The Lion 90.7 FM.